TSN 1050's trade deadline coverage is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Subaru, confidence in motion. We're less than a week away, and everyone is on high alert because Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, reporting that sounds like Matt Duchene will not play for Ottawa on Thursday night. So he may be done. He may never play for that team again because the belief would be they're going to trade him, so don't play him, because if he plays, he might get injured, and then all of a sudden you got a very different story on your hands. And in Columbus, people are on high alert to find out what's going to happen with Artemi Panarin. And they lost at home to Tampa last night. They're in Montreal tonight. And Panarin is not playing. Breaking news this hour. He is out. He's sick. And immediately people are like, come on, that means you're trading him. Well, John Tortorella, he has decided to give you a full-blown, fully detailed explanation.
I was told he's sick, not eating, he's puking. You want me to go into the whole tire trial as far as what happened today with him? So we can get that speculation done with as far as that he's going to be moved. He shit his pants, he was puking, he was doing everything. So, enough.
Full details. Here's our Hockey Insider, Bob McKenzie. What do you make of that out of John Tortorella?
I just want to know if he did it in Niagara Falls. So I married an axe murderer, great line.
Absolutely.
Charlie. Show him the pictures.
Show him the picture.
Show him the pictures of when you...
Just a sewer job.
Heed
knee. Heed down.
Pants now. Move that melon about. Heed. That's one of the best. Like, yeah. That's such an underrated movie.
That's Mike Myers doing his own dad, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Good Scarberian, Mike Myers.
Yeah. The Scotsman from Scarborough.
Real mad he was at the Colonel, Kentucky Fried Chicken. And he gets so... There's like five families.
Couldn't see a thing that either. His bifocals were like ridiculous.
Awesome.
That's what I thought of when I heard Torts there.
Yeah. Just getting the message across.
He bleeped his pants in Niagara Falls.
Right. Yeah. Well, so I guess, are we supposed to take that at face value?
Yeah, I think that was Torts' idea, was let's not go down this rabbit hole of speculating that they're holding him. And there's another obvious reason why that's not the case, and that's because Columbus needs every point it can possibly get. They're trying to make the playoffs. I don't know what percentage to put on Panarin being traded at the deadline, but I wouldn't put it a lot over 50%, to be honest with you. Like, I think they could well keep him.
Well, the team's got to be thinking, why would we pay a bunch of assets for him when we can sign him for free if we're...
That too. But he is he's a game changer. So if you want to win the cup and you think it helps you, then you could. But you're right. The price may be prohibitive. And as I've said many, many times before, and this whole own rental thing, think about it for a minute. So if Team A decides they call up the Columbus Blue Jackets and says, we're giving you a first-round pick and we're giving you a B-level prospect, do you want that? And they're like, no, we want more than that. That's all we're giving you. Take it or leave it. If not, he's going to walk into the sunset at the end of the season and you get nothing for him. So then if it makes sense for a team to give up a first-round pick and a B-level prospect to get him, does it not make sense for Columbus to forego the offer of a first-round pick and a B-level prospect to keep him
right
as your own rental?
But you better get in.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. But
they're
that's,
only a point in right now.
Yep. And then it's pretty crazy over there in that division.
Yeah. If he does end up going, it seems like Boston and Nashville. Those are the two teams everyone is linking him to. Is that accurate? Are there other teams?
Yeah, you know what? And I think Boston's sitting there waiting to see what happens with Mark Stone. So there's, any of the teams that would be in on Panarin would also be in on Mark Stone. And we'll talk about him, I'm sure, before too long here.
Yeah.
But,
Wayne Simmons be another guy. But
well, everybody's on. Like, you've got the big boys, Panarin, Stone, if he becomes available. Duchene, who's available. And then you've probably got everybody else. Simmons and Ferland and Nyquist and on and on and on it goes. These guys just one step down from those three guys that would be perceived as game changers at the deadline.
Well, you mentioned in Ottawa, and Matt Duchene, Dregs is reporting, will likely not play on Thursday night. I know that's been a discussion this week, whether or not you should sit out guys. That seems to make, especially in Ottawa, they're the worst team in the league. Why would you play a guy?
It's not like Columbus where they need the points.
Right.
It is what it is. And
but can you sit out Stone if you're still negotiating?
No.
You'd have to play him?
I would think you would still. But I think I'm hopeful. I mean, we've been saying it every day for 2 weeks that the next 24, 48 hours. But before the Sens play Jersey on Thursday, I think the Sens will certainly know and probably will know, too, as to whether or not which direction this is going to go. Sens put a big push on last week. It sounds like they made some significant offers to Mark Stone. And to this point in time, we don't believe that there's been a response. And I think that response probably comes in the next day or two, and ostensibly before Thursday's game. So, you know, maybe Mark Stone's going to be in Matt Duchene territory on Thursday night, or maybe he's not.
So what would be the holdup? Like, if they've offered him something significant, is it?
I think it's just the player deciding, you know.
Not like signing bonus stuff? Do you think Ottawa
I think he... Again, we're just kind of spitballing here because nobody's talking. But if the Sens come with good faith offers to sign Stone, before you start negotiating off of those, you want to do it in good faith too. So if you're not going to stay, then don't waste everybody's time.
Exactly.
Going right. Arguing about signing bonus and structure and all this kind of stuff. So think long and hard about what you want to do. And in fairness, the Sens have had a really busy schedule lately. They've been playing a lot of games, like almost every other day. So I think, you know, this is probably the first time in a while they've had back-to-back days off. So I think that'll give him time to catch his breath and sort out what he wants to do and then let the Sens know, and then we'll see where we go from there.
Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider in studio. We talked about this at 4, the Maple Leafs. Everyone on the outside has decided, okay, we're all going to be in the same box, and the only thing they're going to be wanting is grit and a right-shot defenseman. That's it, you know. And that's fine. It's all good, and I think most people will concede that that makes some sense. But I'm not sure how often we consider where Kyle Dubas comes into play and what he might actually be wanting to do. Like, do you get the sense that's actually his wish list, or could he?
Well, I think it's his wish list to some degree too. And you know, certainly right shot D would be. Grit's a funny thing. Everybody gets hung up on heavy or grit, and I think what Dubas will be looking at is, I want somebody that competes hard. I want somebody that maybe is versatile, can play the wing, can play center. I want somebody that can take face-offs. I want somebody that can kill penalties. I want somebody who's a multi-purpose guy that the coach is going to want to play, and somebody who plays really hard and brings an added dimension that they don't have as much of. So I think that's kind of what they're looking at. Everybody always gravitates towards Simmons and Ferland, the two guys that are, quote-unquote, you know, play sort of a power, toughness combination of scoring plays, net front presence, all those things, disruptive, fight if necessary. Those guys, I guess. But I don't believe the Leafs are prepared to pay any significant price for rentals of that level. And there's probably, as I've said before, there's probably a lot of lowercase guys that they're looking at that are not highly advertised and being talked about that fit some of the requirements that the Leafs are looking for.
Do you think it's an advantage for the Leafs that they probably know who they're playing in the first round? Like, it feels like it's Boston again.
Yeah, it does. It does. I don't know if it's an advantage or a disadvantage. I guess you could try to tailor your team, but I'm not sure, you know.
What's the sense of tailing your team if you get through? Like, then you got Tampa. It's like it wouldn't really...
Yeah, like, I the whole toughness thing to me... It's not so much about toughnesses. And listen, when I watch the Leafs play, the number one question I have isn't, quote-unquote, their toughness. It's just, will they play a hard enough game? And I don't mean toughness in the sense of size. I don't mean toughness in terms of hitting. I just mean, will they consistently compete? You heard Mike Babcock talk about the game on Saturday night. And he basically was really critical of his team. And he said, we gave them the exact thing that they were going to do, and they didn't want to work hard enough to get through it and do the things that we told them to do.
Right.
And so it's a team that relies on a lot of young players, and they haven't won a playoff series yet, and maybe they're going to do really well this year, but until I see them do it in the playoffs, I don't know that they're capable of doing it on a consistent basis. And I don't know that bringing in one forward that plays on the third or fourth line is going to necessarily change that. It can help it. But I think at the end of the day, it's on all those guys to compete hard and compete consistently. And I think that's the key. And that's where, you know, there's not going to be many Boston Bruins taking a night off. And, well, and especially the number one line.
Well, exactly. And that's what it comes down to. Okay, great. You go out there and acquire Michael Ferland on your fourth line. He's not going on the ice against Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak.
To me, it comes
doesn't
back
make
to,
a difference.
But it comes right back to guys like 34. Auston Matthews is your face of your franchise. He has to have a monster playoff by using his body, winning those 50-50 battles, all the things that he's capable of doing and we see in the regular season.
And be better than Bergeron at least four times.
Exactly. Like, battle along.
Better than him.
And
not even better.
But it's like, we've seen guys go through the process in the playoffs. That's why you have to go through the process. But, you know, there's got to be another level, another gear. Oh, you've played deep into the playoffs. You've seen, you know, the type of effort level it takes from guys that you wouldn't expect out of it. And it's not just, like you say, if you're facing up against the Boston Bruins, it's not Backes that you're worried about. It's how hard Bergeron and Pastrnak and Marchand compete on pucks.
Well, in theory, if you look at it on balance, the Leafs should have a built-in advantage. Because if you can get either the Tavares line or the Matthews line to play even against, somehow play even, which is hard to do because they're arguably the best line in the league. And
especially
certainly
against the Leafs.
Yeah, exactly. But if you can get a line to play even against those guys, then you should, in theory, have more offensive depth up and down your lineup to go the rest of the way. But, you know, it's all TBD once the playoffs start because it's a different game.
Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider in studio. Let's do some rapid fire here, less than a week away from the trade deadline. We've touched on the Leafs, touched on Ottawa, the Habs. Are you expecting anything, or is Bergevin being honest when he said he's out of the rental market?
Yeah, I don't, you know, listen, everybody's always looking to do hockey deals. If you can, the same old story. If you can upgrade your team, you're going to do it. But I don't think he wants to deviate from the plan. And the plan is he's got a gazillion draft picks last year. He's got another gazillion draft picks this year. He wants to keep drafting those kids and filtering them into the lineup as soon as they're ready. And in the meantime, just do what you're continue to do what you're doing.
Winnipeg.
Big game hunting. Stone is the number one target.
So more so than Duchesne?
Much more so, I think.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what's the reasoning there? I mean,
You know, it's funny because a year ago, they said, we need a second-line center. We want to slot Little on the third line, and we want to bring in a second-line center. And they did it, and they got Stastny, and it was a great move. He fit in really well. He was a, you know, the bumper spot in the power play was very good. Second-line center, very good. And here we are a year later, and it's virtually the identical scenario, but the vibe and the word coming out of Winnipeg is, yeah, you know what, we're happy with Little as our number two center. We don't feel like we need a center, but boy, we would love to get a winger like Mark Stone who could be a game changer for us. And maybe that's because Ehlers has been injured for as long as he has been, and Line A's game is dried up right now. And so maybe the idea of bringing in a winger who can do the things Mark Stone does is really attractive, much more so now than it was last year when Line A was shooting the lights out and Ehlers was really good and all the, you know, Connor and all these wingers. That was an area of strength for them last year. It's not as strong this year because of performance as opposed to personnel. But that seems to be the feel right now in Winnipeg is Mark Stone's the guy.
Calgary, who's having, I mean, one of the surprise seasons of the year. Yeah. Mark Giordano did it again yesterday. I mean, this guy,
what a play.
Unbelievable. All the focus when we talk about them is on goaltending.
Yeah.
But
I actually thought the play, and I don't even know if this is the right terminology, but that was a man versus a boy. Because that was Clayton Keller that he walked and just dummied right to the net on that play.
Yeah.
And like, Giordano's, what, 35 years
35.
Old? And he's grizzled, too. Like, he is
pretty
put together. And he was fired up to score that goal. And Keller could have angled him off, but there was no way he was going to win that physical battle. But that was a beautiful play. And, yeah, I mean, Calgary, what do you think they are?
Well, they're big game hunting, too. If Mark Stone is available, they'd want to try to get in on that. I think they'd want to look at all their options. You know, they're waiting to hear on James Neal. There's some talk that he might be out weeks.
Doesn't the agent, Bobby, from Mark Stone say, look, there is so much interest in you, you're going to get some monster offers. Like, just sit around and wait it out. You can set up
7 years versus eight, I guess.
Well, I think that's ultimately that's probably the plan, I would think.
Would he get the setup shop treatment? Would he get the Tavares in L.A.? Is Stone in that territory?
I think he'd be pretty close.
He would in Winnipeg. It's his hometown.
Yeah.
His brother plays in Calgary, you know, so there's lots. But Calgary would, you know, they'd be one of those teams that would say, hey, listen, if we had to start the playoffs with the team we got now, we're okay. And to a degree, I believe that. But... you know, if they could add another gun, especially if Neil's out for any length of time.
Man, you want to win that division, too.
Yeah.
Really want to win that division. Although Vegas, I mean, they're not what they were.
They're struggling right now.
They're struggling.
But you have no idea who you're playing against. It's going to be one of those disasters out west,
right.
You know? So
right.
It'll be... you know, if it's Mini, if it's Colorado, like Colorado won last night, like there's... the Chicago Dallas. Sniff around Dallas, like it's the West is. I mean, these last 20 games,
St. Louis has popped back up into the divisional spot now.
Right.
Dallas and Minnie have dropped down.
Yeah, St. Louis is comfortably in the playoff spot. It's crazy. Well, how about Vancouver? We'll avoid Edmonton. We talk about them all.
Vancouver,
the time,
they're trying to add some scoring, but they don't like the price of rentals, and they don't really want to use future assets on rentals if they don't have to. So they'll sniff around on guys that have younger guys that. Maybe need a change of scenery or what have you. So that would be something they'd kind of be look favorably on. But again, they're, you know, they'd like to try and nail down that last playoff spot. But with the injuries they've had with Edler and Tanev, it's been tough.
Right, and Vertanen's out now.
Yeah,
for a month or so.
Yeah, he's out for a month with cracked ribs. Getzlaf, I think,
got him over.
Yeah. Well, you got Minnesota at 60 points, Colorado, Chicago, and Vancouver all at 59.
Well, Minnesota, I mean, they could be clearing the decks there. You know, Charlie Coyle.
See, that's a guy that's interesting for me, Coyle.
Yeah.
I like him as a player. You want to talk about maybe somebody that flies under the radar who's tough to play against, can score, kind of a versatile player. Yeah. Like, wouldn't surprise, and I'm not floating the name, but that's somebody I could see Kyle coveting. Here in Toronto, like a player like that.
I just don't know how you can afford him.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just saying, like that's the type of player that we're not even talking about. But you'd circle and say, because I like that Coyle.
Yeah, I got some sneaky good players.
Yeah.
Well, Bruce Boudreau is guaranteed a playoff spot.
Well, he almost dropped an F-bomb on live
national TV last night.
The coach interview during in-game.
Those are dangerous, man.
Yeah, he was in game mode and just backed out of it at the last second. Was that Bush that was interviewing him? Who was that?
Brian was it NBC?
I think so.
Yeah,
I don't think Gabby loves this owner giving the general manager the green light to clear the decks.
Yeah.
Take two or three steps back if it means major steps forward down the road, because I'm not sure if this is Gabby's last year in his contract. It might be. Yeah. And if it's not, it still might be.
Yeah. It may not make a difference. It's all semantics. All right, Bob. Good luck in the next 6 days. We'll get you back in here later in the week. But
yes, you will.
It's going to be a wild ride, man. It is every single year. Trade Center next Monday on TSN.
Followed by the Leaf game.
That's right. And it's Elise Buffalo, right, on the Monday night.
So O-Dog's working at all.
Right. Well, Ray's going to be on the panel. Ray and Gordon on the panel. And then they're going downtown to call the game, right?
That means you're going to be
busy. Might need a little five-hour energy that day.
I could see that happening.
I'll be closing my little room down there with a cot in it.
A shutdown pregame?
Oh. Yeah. Pregame shutdown. If I hear anybody barking outside of it, like Chaser's dog barking in the interview.
Yeah, it won't go well.
I'll go crazy.
The quiz master will just start barking outside the
door. Yeah, he'll want you to come back in and break something down.
Yeah.
I'll be breaking nothing down during that game.
Oh, we'll see. All right, Bob.
All right, boys. Thanks.